If, like me, you grew up in the 50s or 60s, I don't have to tell you who June Lockhart was. She was Ruth Martin.
Starring June Lockhart.
Or she was Maureen Robinson. Or she was Dr. Janet Craig.
Petticoat Junction.
June Lockhart is still one of America's favorite TV moms. She visited with me in early 2001.
Forgive me for asking questions I'm sure you're asked on a daily basis, but I have to know. You can clear up a mystery for me that's been bugging me for the longest time. Was there ever actually an episode where Timmy fell down a well and Lassie came back and just barked a few times and everybody knew exactly what she meant?
I don't remember. I don't know. The great line was, she wants us to go with her. And, of course, when we were feeling particularly giddy, we would say, she wants us to go with him. Because, of course, it was a he. Lassie was a he. And or she's trying to tell us something. That was the other line. And that and Timmy's supper. And I guess you've got all my favorite lines from the show.
But, you know, every stand-up comic, you know, there's always something about, oh, what, Timmy's lost on the railroad
tracks.
That's
right.
He's fallen into an old mine.
Yeah. In fact, I did a Gary Shandling show.
Yes.
And that was, you know, he got his foot caught in the railroad track, and then Lassie came in and saved him. Well, the thing, too, of course, everybody attributes all that cleverness to the dog, but really it was all, the dog worked all day for a piece of beef, because it's only fed once a day, and the trainers would hold up the little beef and go, Lassie, Lassie, to get the dog to look alert and the ears up. And then after the shot, they'd stuff it in the dog's mouth, and it would glomp it down. And,
but I cried every time Lassie was in danger.
Oh, yes. And put his little paw up at the end.
There's a tear to my eye even as we're speaking.
It's amazing, isn't it?
After Lassie ended, Irwin Allen sent June Lockhart into space in a silver suit so tight she could hardly sit down. And there was something else that she was not allowed to do.
After the pilot and the first many episodes, an edict came down, which we believe was from Irwin Allen, that Guy Williams was never to touch me. Even to give me his hand to help me down off the ramp or anything. And we thought that was so preposterous because the relationship of the parents in Lost in Space was so underwritten anyway that we tried to fill in and, you know, be a little, show some something good about the relationship. And so when we asked why, they said that it embarrassed the children to see parents being affectionate with each other. And I thought, good Lord. And I, of course, my father never passed my mother without giving her a pat, mm-hmm. or touching her, you know, giving her a hug. I mean, they just were so devoted to each other all their lives. And so I grew up seeing that. And I'll never forget the CBS man coming on. I said, have you heard this? He said, what? That's preposterous. And so the next time he came to visit us was about a week later. He said, you know, that's right. That's what they said. And it was Irwin, of course. As a matter of fact, somebody said to, we're talking about Irwin Allen, who was the producer and creator of Lost in Space, and somebody said to his widow, Sheila Allen, interesting, Sheila, that in all of the shows that Irwin did, there was never any romance. And she said, oh, no, there wouldn't be, because Irwin didn't like anything dirty. What? You know, oh my, romance is dirty?
Well, of course.
So that was just a point of view.
You were just a couple of scientists on a space mission.
That's right, yes.
You just happened to be married, but you're just...
Yes. So anyway, that gave us quite a chuckle.
But what caught my eye about all that, the thing that you don't want to scare the children or upset the children, there were some episodes that when I was little did kind of frighten me a little bit.
And of course, and they always ended with a continued next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was some monster on the screen and Dr. Smith cowering with Bill somewhere, you know, so.
Especially after having watched.
Will, rather.
I got to tell you, I've had many, many TV moms over the years.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's been June Cleaver and Carol Brady and Wilma Flintstone, but Ruth Martin was my first.
Oh, how lovely. I'm so glad. Well, get in line.
I'm sure you must hear this on a daily basis, but I have to say, you know, to see her in danger on some of these other planets was a little at first, the first couple episodes, was a little unsettling.
Yes. I remember there was somebody did a cartoon of when the show started, of a child sitting looking at a television set. And on the set, I was there in the silver clothing. And the child is calling out to his mom and saying, "Mom, what's Lassie's mother doing in a spacesuit?"
What were those suits made of?
Asbestos. They were racing car drivers' clothes. And we, of course, it was cut down for the women. And I had mine made so tight that I couldn't even bend my legs. I had to sort of lower myself backwards when I wanted to sit or lie down.
Facilitating all those stunts that you did, of course.
Oh, yes. Right. Well, we did do the flying stunt, you know. There's a picture of us in mm-hmm. that. And after that was, we did one for a TV Guide cover. And when that was done, while we were doing it, Guy's wires broke, and he fell about 5 or 6 feet to the cement floor. And I thought he'd broken his neck, but he simply was so athletic, he just rolled over and stood up and said, "I'm fine." I was screaming, "Get me down!"
Well, the show is so much fun. It's kind of campy now.
Oh, yes.
But it was so much fun to watch. I mean, it didn't seem at all campy when I was watching it the first time.
Well, in the beginning, it was far more provocative and realistic. The pilot that we did
mm-hmm.
was quite...
Oh, yeah.
Not realistic, of course, but I mean more possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer it was on, the more afield it went.
But that happened with Petticoat Junction as well.
Oh, I love doing that. Yeah, well, Petticoat, of course, when I got on that, was just a treat to be with all those wonderful character actors and be fortunate enough to have be with another hit like that. It's funny, you know, about how you are, the agent calls and says, well, you know, go over and read for this, and then you get the job, and it turns out to be, in my case, with these shows, they've all turned out to be classics. Peculiar. And that goes for many of the films I've done, too, mm-hmm. like Sergeant York and All This in Heaven 2 with Betty Davis and the Christmas Carol that I did with my parents, Kathleen and Gene Lockhart, when I was 12 years old, that airs every year with Reginald Owen as Scrooge.
I was just going to say, it occurs to me that there has probably not been, with reruns, syndication, new shows that you're always mm-hmm. doing, there's probably not been a moment since sometime in the early 50s that you have not been on television somewhere around the world.
I think that's true. Yes, in Australia, Lost in Space has never been off. They finished the 3 years of running and started all over again.
Couldn't help wondering if today's, into the politically correct society, I wonder if you could do a show about three buxom young ladies and call it Hooterville. I didn't even get that joke till I was in my 40s.
Okay, you know, I didn't get that joke until about 6 or 7 years ago. Remember the law case that came out about the guys who were suing Hooters?
At Hooters, yes.
So I'm driving down the street, and I thought, Hooterville. My God, well, how could I have been so dense? It never occurred to me.
Me neither. Not.
You know what I made it? I made it that it was the noise that the train makes. Woo, woo, mm-hmm. the hooting of the whistle.
Yeah.
Nature hates a vacuum, so my mind just made that up to explain the Hooterville.
Well, the kind of little town where you could have a hoot.
Yes, that's right. I think it's interesting that it didn't cross your mind until all those years later. I don't feel quite so bad.
No, I was much like you. It was about the time of the Hooters controversy, and I thought, Hooters and Hooterville.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
One of my colleagues here remembers you from Have Gun, Will Travel.
Oh, yes. Oh, I played a doctor on that, too. A doctor in Petticoat, and, of course, a doctor on Have Gun. Dr. Thackeray, I think her name was. Yeah.
He remembers you were a love interest at some point.
Yes. Yeah, we got to kiss each other or something. And then we did another love scene. Oh, God, I haven't thought about this for a long time. And the sun was going down, and they shot all my close-ups. And I said, if you like, I will come back tomorrow and do the scene while Richard Boone has his lines so that he's got somebody off camera to work with. And they said, no, it'll be all right. And we never did play the scene together. And yet when it's all cut together, it looks as though it's a lovely love scene.
There's a lot about Hollywood we don't understand.
Yes, that's right. I remember sitting there with the sun going down out in the Simi Valley. Yeah.
It seems like everything you're in, it turns to gold.
Isn't that remarkable? Well, there's a few duds in there, but I can't even remember them. So,
but bless your heart.
Moving on.
Yeah, but I mean, here you are, what, 40-something years after the first television appearance, and
goes more than that, isn't it? Because my first time on television,
in
a drama,
yeah,
was 1949,
right,
in the Ford Fireside Theater.
Wow,
something like that.
And here you are.
That was live TV.
People are still climbing. There's been a buzz around this office for 2 days that you're people are just like, wow.
Isn't that lovely?
But it's. I mean, did you ever? Everybody who gets into acting, I suspect, hopes to be a star, hopes to be well-known, hopes to be famous.
Ah, but the secret is, you see, I've always thought of myself as a character actress since 12. So I've never had any of that other problem, going through all that other stuff that so many young leading ladies and ingenues do. As a matter of fact, when I made my Broadway debut in For Love or Money, and it turned out it was just the right part for me, and I was that year's ingenue and all the big hoopla and stuff, of course, and I won a Tony, and it was quite lovely. And but I knew that the publicity that I participated in at the time was done to keep the show open, because I was the one with the special reviews, and so I had a very realistic sense about what that was all about. It's all retail.
But look at all those people who wanted to be stars, they're gone, and you're the one still attracting the crowds.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's how I was brought up by my parents, don't be silly, behave yourself, because I never did get, because my interests were always, my father insisted that I go to a good school and graduate before, I went under contract, and the few films that I did during my teens were all for the extraordinary experience of working with great directors and on productions that were not sort of fly-by-night, fast things, that they would be done with beautiful costumes and a really great opportunity to see the motion picture industry at its best. But my interests were always, I was on the tennis team at school and the swimming team and the head of the Red Cross drive and things like that, and on the yearbook, and then in the summer, of course, we were up at Lake Arrowhead, and I helped found the Lake Arrowhead Water Ski Club.
Wow.
And had a little speedboat and used to drive it around the lake all the time, towing people. And so I had this wonderful, rich, full life at home with my parents. So the other thing was all kept in proper perspective, and they too were in but not of the business. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was my father's craft and how he made his living, and everything was very...
It's a sense of perspective a lot of people
yes.
are missing these days.
Yes, I think so.
When are you going to write your autobiography?
Oh, never. No, absolutely not. I like to write little articles and things like that. I've written one about the Great Vegetable Rebellion and the shooting of it, because that was the absolute bottom feeder episode of things that were just really awful. And in that, as a matter of fact, Guy and Mark and Angela and I laughed and giggled so much all through the shooting of it that indeed Guy and I were written out of the next two episodes by Irwin as punishment and discipline, but at full salary because we had contracts. And he thought that that would be great discipline, that we would be more upset about not being able to be in an episode than... Anyway, Mark said he should have been written out, too, but the only reason this is Mark Goddard I'm mm-hmm. talking about, but the only reason they didn't write him out, too, was that they needed somebody to drive the chariot, so, in the next two episodes.
I think Will knew how to drive the chariot. He was pretty handy.
Oh, I'm
house.
Sure he could have done it.
As I write this, June Lockhart is about to celebrate her 94th birthday. No danger there, Will Robinson. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.